I want to talk a little bit about Halloween because that happens this Thursday evening, okay? And we are all affected by what happens at Halloween. Our kids are getting this at school. There's a lot going on. So Matthew 10, verse 16 to 17a says, "Behold, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary and wise as serpents and be innocent as doves. Be on guard against men whose way or nature is to act in opposition to God." So God wants us to be wise as serpents. He wants us to be wary. He wants us to think about what's going on, not just to allow things to unfold. He doesn't want us to be passive. He wants us to be active and involved. 2 Corinthians 2:11 also says that the grace of God will help to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. We are not meant to be ignorant of Satan's ways and what his plans and purposes are. We worship God first and foremost. We know who God is. We keep him in his place, but we need to be aware of the strategies of the enemy because we have been given all power and authority on earth. We are God's workmanship. We are God's representatives here on earth. So Halloween started, and probably in many people's eyes in the occult, continues as a Celtic festival in a season when people believed that the god of death would scatter evil spirits around to attack and play nasty tricks on humans. So the humans at the time decided to wear disguises to make themselves look evil and hopefully escape the attacks and be ignored by these evil spirits. So that's where we get our masks and our all the scary images that come through Halloween. Then the name Halloween came in later as All Hallows Eve, when Christians attempted to redeem the pagan festival to line up with All Saints Day, and eventually the name got shortened to Halloween. So that's just a really short sort of explanation of what Halloween is and where it came from. Halloween is actually the favourite time of the year for witches, people who practice Wicca, and Satanists. They believe that on the night of October the 31st, the separation between the physical and spiritual realities is at its thinnest. Some would say that portals, and I know for a fact that they believe fully that there are portals opened between the heavens and the earth, dark portals for many, but also for many they believe it's light because it's good, apparently. That's portals of supernatural power and for spirits to enter and come up and down from the earth to heaven for these spirits to be transferring. So we need to know about these things. We need to know that this is what is going on, that these celebrations are happening, regardless of what it's called, because I'm sure in other countries it has other names as well. But we need to look at the fruit of it as well. Fruit of it is often fear, nightmares, provoking devil worship amongst the occult. The fruit of it is promoting the occult. I believe it's actually, and I would challenge us to think about it as being like a grooming of our culture to accept the evil, demonic things are just natural within the earth and we don't need to worry about those things. These so-called harmless celebrations of Halloween can cause children in particular to get confused about what is from God and what is from the devil, particularly when supernatural activity is promoted. They're always promoting Ouija boards and ghosts and spirits and all this sort of thing. And I think it can be very confusing for children. And I think in a way it also desensitizes young people to evil and fear, and it confuses their identity. So I just challenge you to think of some of the way that Halloween is celebrated as being a grooming of our children. We're concerned about our children being groomed for pedophiles or being groomed for this or that, but there's other spiritual grooming going on, and we get very upset about taking Christianity teaching out of schools and different things like that and bringing other teachings in and the transgender teachings, all this sort of thing. We get very upset about that as being grooming for our children, but there is a spiritual grooming going on that's very overt as well. It can seem very harmless. Now, I might have mentioned our little five-year-old grandson because we're absolutely besotted with him. We bought him a couple of weeks ago, but I've been looking after Lucas since he was a real little fella. And years ago, we would go shopping, like every year up until this year, whenever we went to the shop, I'd have him sitting on the trolley or something. And that time of year, around Halloween, I'm about to walk into one of these shops and he's like, oh, and he's like, because he can see all these images and they scared him. And there was no way we were going in those shops. We had to go around and come in another door if there was another door, or we just didn't go in these shops because he didn't like them. And that was the first 4 years. This year, I'm driving him somewhere and he's sitting in the car and he sees a house decorated and he goes, spooky. And I went, what? And he goes, a spooky coming. I said, oh, you mean Halloween? And he goes, yeah. And I said, oh, that's not good. And he goes, oh, it's fun. I'm like, hello, what happened? All of a sudden, he's going to school part-time now, and all of a sudden, it's fun. Harmless fun. Halloween is sold as fun, but the secular focus on Halloween seems to be about having the scariest, most grotesque images. And if you can play a trick on someone or scare them half to death, that's a win. I really hate being scared, and I really hate those sort of surprises. Never like them. I don't want my 5-year-old grandson to become desensitized to the demonic realm. I don't want him to become desensitized to those images. I don't want him to be in fear of them either. I want him to know who his God is, that his God in him is greater than anything in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because God actually ultimately created Satan, who is now creating all these bad images. I don't want him exposed to supernatural activity that doesn't originate from God's throne room. There is a lot of supernatural activity that is trying to stir and lure people into engaging, but our supernatural is to be connected to God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Can I just reiterate over and over and over? And I love the song we were just singing, "Fear, fear not. The fear is not going to get me." Fear is from the devil. And I know people have nightmares during Halloween, all sorts of stuff. There is a fear that is stirred up that's meant to be fun. I never enjoyed watching even all these horrible, spooky movies as a kid. You know, someone would say, let's go around and watch The Exorcist or something. And I'm like, oh, no thanks. I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to do that to my spirit. I wasn't even a Christian then, but I didn't want to do that. I'm not trying to upset anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, put the finger on anyone or anything that you've been involved with in the past or present or whatever, but I want you to be aware. I want you to think about it. I want you to weigh up these things and think about, okay, well, what's my response as a Christian? How do I respond to this? We need to be wise as serpents to the devil's ways. This celebration is being sold to us as fun, but there's a deeper, darker, hidden agenda. Are our children being groomed? Are we being groomed for that matter? God is real. Satan is real, as are his angels. There are angels, good angels and bad angels. We'll see in Revelation 12:9b. I just take the end of it. That's what the B means. So you're not taking the whole lot, just the second part of it that sort of works with my message. but no, the whole thing does, but this is just for time. And Satan, he who is the deceiver of all humanity the world over, he was forced out and down to earth, and his angels were flung out with him. So Satan's brought angels with him. Those angels, what we refer to now as demons. And I don't believe for a minute that they look like any of these horrific images that we see. I believe those images have developed over the years just to scare people. But I believe the Bible says that Satan, Lucifer, was the most beautiful angel in heaven. So if he was to appear to you, you might not recognize him because he doesn't look scary. He looks really nice. Might be a handsome looking chap. So, but you would feel his presence. When they were kicked out of heaven, they didn't lose their angelic powers. Now they're using these powers to manipulate and deceive people. Angels have supernatural powers as they're not confined to the laws of nature on earth. They have supernatural powers. So then you find people are doing magic. You know, people that are involved in the occult, they're calling on demons to help them, but they might not use the word demon. They might say, I call on the spirits or gods, or they're talking to the dead, or maybe they're calling on the universe. They're calling on all these different things. But In reality, they're actually calling on these fallen angels that we now call demons to empower what they're doing, to get the power for what they do in their occultic practices and activities. They're using that fallen angel demonic power. I was quite heavily involved in the occult, and I'll tell a bit more about that in a minute. But I always thought that all power was good. All spirits were good. So there, I think only when you're maybe a Satanist or something do you realize that there is dark magic, black magic, that kind of thing. But I thought, well, if you've died and you're on the other side, or if I'm speaking to a spirit, then they must be good, they must know the truth. Isn't that really weird? I didn't know any different. I remember one time in New South Wales, my husband and I were in a town called Morpeth, and there was a lady coming out of this New Age bookstore, and she had loads of books in her arms about, you know, sort of studying and researching all this stuff. And I just felt compelled, and I ran up to her and I said, oh, can I just tell you something? Can I just give you a little bit of information? She's like, okay. So I said, just know that when you're reaching out to the spirit realm, that there are good spirits and bad spirits, and some of them really want to hurt you. And she goes, wow. Like, this was a revelation. She appreciated what I told her, because there's so much ignorance and deception. People don't always know what they're getting involved with. They don't always understand. It's not unless you're really in the darkest of practices or a Satanist or a Wicca that you realize what is actually going on in the spirit realm. God is the only source of power. The devil uses some of God's power because he gave it to him years ago, and he doesn't bring that back. The devil's power is fake, supernatural, poor imitation of God's genuine power. So the power that lives in us is greater than anything any dark demonic force could ever do, any nightmare could ever do. I remember our son, when he was little, he'd wake up, oh, I don't know, was he three or something? Wake up in the middle of the night and be going, yuck man, yuck man. He's pointing at something in his room going, yuck man, yuck man. And we're like, whoa, what's that? And so we went straight in there. We anointed his room with oil. We prayed over him, got all that sorted, yuck man no more. You know, you have the power and authority. Christians, we are not weak. We are not without tools. We are not ill-equipped. We have the full power of the universe, of our Creator God, in us. And we just don't use it enough. You know, all the witches, the magic, the casting spells, the dressing up, talking to dead people, tarot cards, horoscopes, runes, chanting to gods, they're all imitations of God's miraculous power. And I remember I once, before I became a Christian, I actually can't say I prayed for somebody. I held the hand, they had a twisted finger, and I was sort of, you know, willing it to be healed, and it was healed. That's a fake. That's just an imitation. It's demonic. It was demonic power. A former Satanist who's now a Christian pastor, John Ramirez, he's hard to understand sometimes because he's Spanish, said that when you dress up, even as an angel or mermaid for Halloween, you're aligning yourself with the devil and allowing him to change your identity. Wow, that's weird. I think you need to research these things for yourself and find out and see how you feel about it, where it fits for you. Anton LaVey, he actually founded the Church of Satan. And he's publicly thanked in videos Christians for allowing their children to celebrate Halloween once a year. When you align yourself with pagan practices, you can, you don't always, but you can open up a door or a portal that can bring calamity or curses upon you. So you have to be really aware, really careful, wise, wise as serpents. But again, we're not to be in fear as any of this, because we have the true, genuine power of God's love flowing through us. We are more than conquerors. We are greater than that. So if we go into these things, if we do participate in any way, we need to know that we are more than conquerors, that we are immune from this. Because if you don't know, you're kind of just going along for the ride rather than going in with authority to do something about transforming this. God created every single one of us to be hungry for the things of the supernatural, because he is supernatural. He's built this sense of eternity, this sense of needing relationship with him in our hearts. We crave for things of the kingdom, which is why we are drawn to supernatural. So if you are not introduced to the supernatural power of Jesus straight away, then you're going to go looking for it in some way. I find more particularly people who have got a prophetic gift on their life can be drawn away earlier. More so people with the ascension gifts, the gifts to the church. These sorts of people are actually born with that calling on their life. It's a call, and you go looking because you want this encounter. You want to experience. You want to connect. You want to know your maker. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to express it. You don't know how to find it. So we as Christians have a responsibility to tell people and to give them that opportunity to encounter Jesus, to encounter God, to have the goosebumps or whatever, but not just a head knowledge thing, but an encountering. Encounter makes all the difference. I actually even went to Catholic school for a number of years and we studied scripture. Oh, whoa, my father was the ducks of religion at a Catholic school. Can you believe that? Because I didn't know nothing about it later. I only found out later he was the ducks of this and ducks of that and ducks of everything. And I'm like, wow, really? It's just a head knowledge. It's just a subject. It's just, look through my notes. Wow, I actually wrote about Peter and Mark. And, well, okay. Had no recollection whatsoever because there was no encounter. There was no personal relationship. There was no personal knowledge of God in that. And we are built to have that personal knowledge. And I believe particularly that we can be lured away. And that happened for me. I was lured away. I was looking for the encounter. My grandparents would take me to church occasionally. They lived in Albany. I spent a lot of time with them. Apparently, my mum got saved in the 60s at a Billy Graham crusade, but I never knew anything about that until I became a Christian. Well, actually, yeah, until I became a Christian. So there was some influence in there, but no one had ever explained or talked to me or pointed me in the right direction. So I got lured into the occult. And I was very heavily involved for many years. I wouldn't have said that I was into dark magic by any means, but we would call ourselves like white witches or something, you know, something that sounds palatable, sounds okay, we can do this sort of thing. We were very aware of trying to and being able to maybe manipulate people in some ways through our chantings or prayers or whatever we did. You know, I would be practicing runes and astral projection. I was studying lessons to grow and develop in this area. I hung out with all the same sort of people, commune with spirits, talk to the dead, astral travel, all that sort of stuff. And I was always frustrated because it was never as good as I wanted it to be, and probably because God was protecting me. So praise God for that. But I was committed. I would chant to Krishna three times a day, at least three times a day. As a lot harder somehow to pray three times a day. It's really weird. I think there's like a demonic empowerment that gives you this drive to be able to commit like that. Whereas Christians, we have free will. We choose when we do these things. But I was really, really absolutely committed to this. And for Halloween for me was about celebrating the spiritual realm and the ability to connect more strongly with the other side. Because that barrier between the natural and supernatural was supposed to be the thinnest and most accessible during Halloween. So for me and many witches, warlocks, Satanists, occult practice people, Halloween is a day where they believe they can draw on the spirits and they can do all this stuff and they can have so much more power. Witches will stay up all night, change their sleep routine so they can stay up all night so they can place curses on people and places and open spiritual doors and portals. So while everyone else is having fun, there's all this major demonic activity taking place. There's demonic activity could even be happening in your street or your neighborhood. You wouldn't know. Unless God gives you this discernment and shows you and you have some understanding or you talk to people who have been involved, you don't actually know what is going on. I guarantee Thursday night there will be covens and witches and all sorts of things, all sorts of activity, especially at midnight. It's even better for them if it's a full moon, but I don't think it is this time. and they will be praying things over the city of Perth. So can I encourage you to pray blessings, particularly be aware on Thursday night, Thursday evening, pray blessings, pray God's word, pray release, declarations that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Speak confusion. I heard an interview with this ex-Satanist once and he said, oh, Christians think they can speak confusion into Satan's plans. Oh, okay, there's a clue. So let's speak confusion into Satan's plans. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. Like I said, I was not a Satanist by any means, but I unknowingly participated in a satanic wedding. Years ago, I was working on I was working on this American boat. Not looking at any Americans. I was working on an American boat, and one of the crew, his name was John. No, that was Peter. Sorry, here's Peter. And Peter met this young lady called Suzanne, and she was from England, and they decided to get married all of a sudden, probably because they were in a different country and it was easy to travel together and everything. But I don't know what was going on there. But anyway, they decided this wedding was going to be a witchy wedding. So she dressed up as a witch. She had a beautiful black dress with a witch hat. He dressed as a warlock. And the bridesmaids, of which I was one, we dressed as black cats. And we arrived in town in horse-drawn black carriage. Which I've only sort of realised and repented for a lot since I realised that this was probably a satanic wedding. You know, like, why else would you do that? I mean, really, it's not every bride's dream, is it? Seriously. Certainly wasn't mine. Oh, a white dress. Thank you very much. And no hats. Certainly not black cats. My goodness, at least they had a figure for it in those days. Yeah, a little outfit with a little tail and ears and the whole thing. It was bizarre. Anyway, I was staying in a hotel that night. I had a room on my own, and the nightmares, oh my goodness. Whew, there was just demonic activity over and over and over. All night long, I was tormented. I had these demons appearing to me and showing me documents and I don't know, just stuff. And it was a horrible, horrible night. I don't know what theirs was like. Wedding night, I don't know, nightmares. Okay. So fast forward a couple of years, and my husband and I, born again Christians now, and we're in South Africa as Christian missionaries. Again, we are not to fear the demonic realm because perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. But we were staying in a Durban home with some Indian folk, lovely, hospitable, beautiful people. And lovely Christians, lovely born again Christians. And that night I was asleep, and for probably the first year or so after becoming a Christian, I wrestled literally a lot of demonic activity and a lot of demons, especially in my sleep. And this big black demonic figure appeared, and I couldn't breathe, and I'm like, and I'm trying to get the name Jesus out, you know. And it actually took me a couple of years to actually be able to say Jesus really quickly in my sleep at night. Doesn't happen at all anymore. It was only the first couple of years. But this thing was grabbing my feet and trying to drag me off the bed and twist my feet at the same time. This stuff happens. Now, if you come from another country, like not so much in Australia, because it's all in our Western world, we don't sort of believe in the spirit realm and we don't engage or acknowledge it. But I know particularly in Philippines, it's very real. I know in Africa, it's very real. People having spiritual... India... It's very, very real. Tribal sort of environments as well. There is clashes between demonic and God all the time. And there are spiritual activity that a lot of Westerners go, oh, that doesn't exist. That's not real. Well, I challenge you, go on a missions trip. You will discover that it is. So anyway, this thing was trying to grab my feet and turn my feet inside out. And I managed to shout, get the name Jesus out, and I grabbed Ian. I said, pray for me, pray for me. So the first few years, Ian was praying for me a lot in the middle of the night. At one stage there, he was running a worship team in church. It was quite a big worship team. We actually had four teams. And I woke him up in the middle of the night and said, pray, pray. And he goes, oh, God, I thank you for the worship team and that we're doing this. And I'm like, no, pray for me. Oh. It was the middle of the night, you know. He was asleep. Anyway, the next morning we're having breakfast, and my husband jokes about having curry cornflakes from Indian home, but they weren't curry. I was telling this lady about what happened overnight, and she said before she became a Christian, her legs were deformed and twisted inside, like the toes of feet were twisted inside, and when she got saved, she was completely healed. Now, that same spirit was active in their home still. So we have to cast that sucker out. So again, there is no condemnation for anyone that's participated in or allowed your children to participate in these activities, or Halloween activities, I mean. But we all need to know the truth and intentions behind it, the agenda behind it. So we're equipped, we're armed, we're going in as warriors, not as passengers, okay? If you're sold out to Jesus, you seek him first in everything you do, your heart will tell you how to respond. Listen to that still small voice, how to respond. Matthew 22:37 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But I want us to look at this bit. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even if they practice occult things, even if they are witches or Satanists or whatever, we don't vilify them and push them away and, oh, you know, we don't want anything to do with them. Jesus loves these people. He wants them saved. He wants them delivered. He wants them set free. Why do you think the devil's interested in distracting them and pulling them over here? Jesus actually wants to bring them into his kingdom. Because they have a role, they have a purpose to play. And I think too often we're scared of these kinds of people. We can be scared of people that look weird on the street. You know, with the tattoos or the hair or something like that. Sorry, Jono. We don't. He's a puppy dog. He's such a lovely man. You know, we shouldn't have fear of people because they're different. God loves them. God loves every single one of them. God loved me. He brought me out of it. And I'm lucky. And I'm blessed. So we're not to fear these people. We want to pray for them. We want to build them up. You know, this leading up to becoming a Christian, I was dating my husband, and he knew that I was into speaking to the dead and all this sort of stuff. So thank God he was still with me. And his mother was a Christian, and she met me, and she still thought I was lovely, but she was a little bit worried. She kept trying to give us books about the Gospel of John or something, and we're like, what's that, you know? And then every now and then she'd invite us to church, and we're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So one day it was Easter, and she invited us to church, and we're like, okay, we just need to go just to, you know, make Mum happy. So Mum had gone ahead and prepared the way and prayed with the leadership and everything. And we ended up at a church. Back in the day, it was called Rhema, which is now called Riverview. So we ended up at Riverview. But as we're walking towards the building, I'm like, oh, I got goosebumps. I'm going, whoa, because I'm so tuned into the spirit realm. And I'm feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that everyone that comes anywhere near this building will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Anyone that comes anywhere near our church, our people, will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, whether you're aware of it or not. Why not? I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you know, in my way, I said to Ian, whoa, there's something here. I don't know anything. So anyway, we're sitting through the whole service and the worship's awesome and the message. I wouldn't have a clue what he spoke about. Obviously something about Easter, I'm sure. And then he gave an altar call, which I still had no idea what any of that was about. But Ian and his brother did have a little bit of cultural training in that. So him and his brother went up for the altar call. And I'm sitting back there with FOMO, going, ah, what about me? What about? So I just straight up to the altar and I said the prayer. I had no idea. Sometimes you don't really have to have much idea. You just got to jump in with faith and go, Okay. I'm in this, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is. But no, seriously, in the 80s, there were 300 people. No kidding, 300 people at the altar call. It was incredible. I had no idea what was happening at the time. It was just incredible. But what they did is they took everybody off. Every single person went off with a counselor and sat and talked to them. So praise God for my counselor. She pulled me aside. We went up to some room somewhere and she goes, okay, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, which is not the normal process that you would take a new Christian through. But she said to me, you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll have any spirit that's going. Thank you very much. Like, yeah, okay, bring it on. Give it to me. How do we do this? So she prayed for me. I got filled with the Spirit and I didn't stop praying in tongues for days, weeks. I don't know. I just prayed in tongues. I could control it. It wasn't out of control. I could stop it, start it whenever I wanted. And I just prayed in tongues. The very next day, I gathered all my books, all my study lessons, everything that I had, my runes and everything, put them in a pile, put some Kero or something on them and set fire to the whole thing. It was the Holy Spirit just caught me. He cleaned me up. Mind you, what came after that was weeks and weeks and months and no, years. Coming up to the altar every single week, down in the Spirit getting deliverance. Every single week I had a bit of personal counseling on forgiveness and some other issues that I had. I didn't have many issues, did I, honey? So we're saved and we've got this really annoying persistent home group leader. Come to home group. Come to home group. Oh, we're having a barbecue this week. Come to home group. And we're like, oh, okay. And Ian was at his place and I was at my place at the time. I don't know if we were married by then, but anyway, so we went to this home group and the guy there started talking to me. He said, oh, tell me your story and where you're from and that. And I told him my testimony. He's like, oh, we don't get many of your kind. I'm like, what's my kind? I don't know what my kind was. Am I different? Was there something different? So this is sort of something I'd like to see some of these barriers come down. There's no kind. We're all different. We're all unique. We've all got a background and a past and something going on. And we need these people in the church. We're missing some really sensitive spiritual discerners because they're not in the church. And there's a lot more that we're missing, but that's a good place to start. So let's not fear these people. Let's not fear this pagan celebration either. Let's be in charge. Let's have that power and authority. Reformation Day. Reformation Day. You'll have to explain me some more about that, okay? I'll take it on. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he is in the world. So let's not vilify and get all stay away from me or, you know, scared of people or judge people who do get involved in the whole Halloween process, because I know with Christians now there's a little bit of separation of us and them and do you, don't you, or you shouldn't be and all that sort of thing. Let's just love and encourage and know our place and our authority. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from evil, shrink from it, keep aloof from it. That's why I love the Amplified, sorry. In whatever form or whatever kind it may be, let's focus on the supernatural power of God. We don't want to know how to put curses on people or open portals of fear. As Christians, we want to be involved in signs, wonders, miracles, salvation, deliverance, healings. We want to see people's lives transformed. We're not interested in all that other rubbish. We want to cast out devils. We want to see the dead raised. That's the excitement. That's the good stuff. That's the truth. That's the pure power of God, which is fueled by love and grace and acceptance. You have the anointing. You have the authority. You have the power to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Because as Jesus is in this world, so are we. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So you came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's destroy the works of the devil, but redeem the people out of what they're in and bring them into the kingdom of God. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain surpassing victory through him who loved us. Whoa. I encourage you, do some research for yourself. Find out. But if your family must participate anyway, see it as an opportunity for outreach, an opportunity to pray for sick, to testify about Jesus. In North America, this is a really big deal. Pastor Jason and I were having this discussion this week. It's very much a part of the North American culture, and it's gaining some momentum here as well. So what's our response to that going to be? Do we just go along passively as a passenger, or do we, we take up our swords and we get out there, we get amongst them, and we use that opportunity to witness, to get involved, to pray for people. Yes. We got to go in there carrying the authority of God to see the captives set free. That is a mandate on your life, to carry that authority of God. There's a lady called Becky Fisher. She runs a ministry called Kids in Ministry International. 20-something years ago, she actually ran Bethel Kids Ministry, but now she's been on her own for many years. She's got tracks. You can go onto her website. She's got tracks you can download, you can order, posters that you can download and print. Why don't we sort of prepare and get ready for Halloween? Why don't we be purposeful and strategic? Maybe next year we plan a month or so ahead and we get ready and we have tracks at our doors. If you're going to give out lollies, give out some tracks as well. Offer to pray for people. Put some posters out. There's some really fun posters on her website. And the testimonies of people who have seen posters and come to the door and be prayed for. People being saved. It's a ministry. It's an outreach. It's like going out in the street, but you've got something to talk about. And if you're one going out in the street, going door to door, pray blessings over every home. Be oppositional. Be anti what they're doing. Bring the presence of God. Bring that power. Bring that authority. Bring the salvation. Let's make this a, I don't know if this is a terminology, Christian Halloween as such. Use it to reach out to those who are seeking an encounter with the truth. There's an open door, almost literally. There's an open door to speak into their lives. And if you can speak a little bit of that supernatural power kind of thing, which I can speak in the language like I talk to people about karma, well, you don't need to do that anymore because Jesus has ascended. He's the great ascended master. No one else is, you know, you can give your life to Jesus and you don't have to worry about karma anymore. You know, there are some ways if you can talk that way. Otherwise, you might be talking to children or to parents. Just try and strike up a conversation. Find a tract and use a tract. Becky Fisher's tracts are pretty good, but you would have to order them from the States. Kurong don't have them at this moment. And we are in a new season. As a church, as I prophesied over our pastors, we are in a new season. I actually wrote down here before Leah brought that word, shedding the old. Let's be a church known for our strength, understanding and authority in the spirit realm, not for being weak Christians. I've heard this ex-Satanist guy say that most Christians are weak. They don't know their authority in God. They don't know what they've got. And this is his life's mission. He runs a church and he's equipping and training people to know their authority in God, to set the captives free. So let's be known as a church who can set the captives free, who pursue the power and presence of God, because it's not just about the power and presence of God and experiencing sensational stuff. It's about supernatural power to transform lives, bring people out from what they're in into the marvelous light of God. What a great opportunity we have. God's grace, Titus 2 tells us, God's grace gives us the power to deny all ungodliness. So we don't need to fear that it's going to get us, because where the spirit in us is going to get that. Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. And finally, in Joshua 24, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's not just be passive passengers to what is happening this week. Let's be active. Let's be proactive. Let's be warriors that know our strength, that know our authority, that know the power of Him who lives in us. The power that's in us is greater than anything in the world. No matter how scary it is, all you need to say is the name Jesus. I tell my little Lucas, if he gets scared, I say, "You just say the name Jesus." And he goes, "Why?" Especially at that age, between 4 and 5, why? Just say the name Jesus. He's so precious. We were praying about something and he goes, he's reading a book on Jesus and he goes, "How did Jesus get out of my heart to there?" Oh, okay. He's in your heart. Jesus can be everywhere, anywhere, anytime.